Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Faub, my co-host. Nasser Hamid is on assignment. This is podcast number 413, March 14th, 2010. Stephen?
This F1 Weekly podcast brought to you by Marin Karting. Check them out. You know you want to.
Thank you, Stephen. And of course, here we go on today's program, race coverage of the Bahrain GP. Bravo, 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 Fernando. Ferrari start on top with some luck. Rosberg proves he's no slouch. Newey designs proving too fragile, perhaps. And a spark plug is the theme today's program. And of course, I want to thank today's donations. Occasionally, people do click on the button, Stephen. I know you think it's funny. But Ernest, Karen Jeff, and Mark Farrington both donated. And we thank them from the bottom of our hearts because the new server costs money. Everything costs money. And we don't have very much money.
Yes.
And so every little dollar goes to the F1 Weekly Fund to make us not only improve, but just to stay.
Just to survive.
Yeah, just to survive. And of course, all that tea that Nasser drinks is putting us in the hole.
Yeah, the beer doesn't hurt either.
Exactly. So anyway, there you have it. Qualifying.
Quali. Whole lot of fun.
Let's go right to qualifying.
Right to quali.
March 13th. I missed the first 10 minutes, but...
You didn't miss much.
Well, and
the one thing that really caught my attention was is that it starts, and it took like 4 minutes before anybody got on track. I'm like, wait a minute.
Well, the big boys, they don't have to first go out, but
no.
People like HRT need to go out.
These laps.
For installation, just to make sure the wheels are staying on the car.
Exactly, considering the fact that poor Karun Trindak didn't even get a lap in any practice. A lot of question marks as to whether or not they were even going to let him on track for quali because he had not practiced.
Well, you know, that's the problem with, I mean, okay, we have three new teams, HRT, Lotus, and Virgin. HRT just, I mean, they were just able to put it together.
Frankly, from the sounds of it, they were lucky to get there with cars to put on the track.
And you know what? At least they made it, unlike our unmentionable friends here.
Well, I will cut USF1 just a tiny bit of slack in the fact that they didn't have, they were building their own car from scratch, unlike the majority of the other new teams.
Yeah, but you start, just get to the track. You can build your own car next year. Yeah. Anyway, no more USF1 stuff. I've had it up to here.
Yep.
Anyway, HRT was the first team to go out on track.
Yep.
Which was a smart thing to do.
Yeah, good thing to get out on track. They got some laps in. Didn't look horrible, but they didn't look very good either. But the first session was interesting just to see everybody get their cars out and throw down some laps. It was interesting to see how much clag they were getting thrown out on the track. Looking for the race on Sunday, how much that could become problematic for people with, you know, marbles thick as, you know, like 2 inches thick in some places, but
I was, first of all, everybody was watching Michael Schumacher. Red Bull looked strong. Ferrari looked strong. McLaren looked good.
For that matter, you know, your buddies at Renault looked pretty decent.
I agree.
And I was actually surprised. Vitaly Petrov
looked pretty good together.
Yeah. At least in practice and in the first session of qualification.
Even though I'm sure the guy was so nervous. First Grand Prix, first F1 start. I mean, it's going to affect
only the second time he's been in the car.
It's going to affect your performance.
Yeah.
But very impressive, but still not too surprising at the end of Quali 1.
No. Your first six of seven out are the six new cars.
Well, not only that, but I mean, I was... You know, seven out, that's a lot of cars.
Yeah.
And I'd forgotten for a moment. And then, you know, I go, oh my God, that's right. We have seven cars.
Why did they throw out seven? Isn't it five? No, it's seven now because we got to get down to 10 for the final session.
Which was fine, but it was very typical. It was pretty much fairly predicted. I thought we expected more from Mercedes Grand Prix, but I think they were more honest than we thought. No sandbagging at all. Which I was sort of thinking that they were sandbagging, but no.
No.
Ross Brawn was telling the truth. They do need to find some pace.
They didn't have the magic trick in the bag that they had last year with the double diffuser.
And Rosberg found his testicular fortitude.
Impressive considering of the two gentlemen on the grid who really need to step up and sort of prove something. He did.
Not only that, but I think he was more relaxed in the car. And I think it's going to, like a few people and a number of people have said that it's going to take Michael Schumacher a few races.
It could, yeah. And there have also people have been talking that it could take Michael the entire year before he's really back in the groove.
In the rhythm.
Yeah. And we'll not really see a true Michael until, say, next year when he's basically got this year to get beat off all the rust.
Not only that, but Michael Schumacher adds pressure to Michael Schumacher because of his legacy.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's got to be a big bummer.
Yeah, it's got to be a lot of weight to carry on your shoulders. You need to kind of maybe get him to slim down a little bit to get the weight out of the car.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm giving him some slack, and I think he's going to be fine. And he did good.
And frankly, for his first race back.
Correct.
Ran a really good race.
I think so, too. Together. You could just tell that he's still a little antsy.
Right. And then the other thing that he brought up, they were talking to him about it because, you know, everybody was like, oh, you're one of the two guys in the grid who've raced with full, you know, with no refueling stops.
Back in 93.
And Michael's like, that's completely useless. That was so long ago.
Completely different tires. Completely different cars.
Yeah. You know, maybe from a strategy mindset, he has a little bit of advantage in the fact that he's done it before. But that experience was so long ago. He's relearned driving so many other times since then.
Yeah. And the cars drove so different.
Oh, yeah.
In 1993. So. I mean.
Well, the fact that the one thing they kept bringing up during the practice was the fact that they all had active suspension.
Oh, yeah, which made it wonderful.
Which means they never had to worry about scraping the barge board, no matter how heavy the car was, right. Because the car was always going to be the same ride height.
I like that. It's sort of like a Citroën.
Yeah.
Quality.
But so out in the first session, we've got Jaime Alguersuari, which I kind of feel sorry for him because he's like the one not new team guy to get kicked out in the first round. But then Timo, Jarno, Heike, Lucas de Grassi, Bruno Senna, and Karun Chandak are out in the first session. And if you look at it, they were way out because Jaime doesn't make the session by about half a second, not making the next section. The nearest of the fallouts to him were 2.5 seconds behind him. So Scary. They've got a bit of time to pick up. Throughout the season. You know, frankly, I think for those guys, ultimately the goal becomes, can we catch the last year's backmarkers?
Which is a good goal.
Yeah. Because if they can get to that point, then they've got a good jumping off point for next season.
I totally agree.
And so on to the second session. And again, a little bit slow getting out, but not quite as
Sebastian Vettel comes out first.
And throws down
the gauntlet.
Exactly. Throws down some good laps.
Force India looking pretty good. Adrian Sutil and even Vitantonio Liuzzi both proving that I think Force India has a fairly good package that can be competitive, and I don't think it's going to take them too many races to maybe even be in the top 10.
And frankly, what they need is just a tiny bit of luck, because if you look at it, they were, when we get to the race, we're in a really good position to do well and ran into a little trouble. But the second session, not exceptionally interesting, but...
No. I mean, it stayed the same top five for a long time.
Oh, yeah. And even then, we didn't see the kind of kicking out of people like we did last season going into the tenth, into the final session. You know, last year, you'd see people bouncing out, you know, you'd be on the bubble, you'd get up to five, and then you'd be out.
Right.
Because somebody would come by and take
towards
you out.
Towards the end of the session. Yeah. And the other person that I thought did very, very well was Rubinho.
Except for he is the last one not to make it into the final
But still,
session.
He was outperforming his young teammate, Nico Hülkenberg, who we all know is, you know, Nasser loves this guy. A lot of people love this guy. This guy has won every championship that he's entered.
Yeah.
And I think that puts a little bit too much pressure on the young guy.
Yeah, and not only that, but I think we'll see him step forward as the season progresses.
Oh, absolutely.
First race, this is not really a simple track. Some jitters. The car was reasonably good, but not apparently as good as it appeared in some of the preseason testing that we saw. But out in the session are Rubinho, Vitantonio, Nico, Pedro De La Rosa, Sebastian Buemi, Kayumi Kobayashi in his BMW, and then Vitaly Petrov, which is a little disappointing to me because I think Vitaly had a better car than that and should have finished probably ahead of the Toro Rosso's and the BMW's.
Well, once again, butterflies.
First,
Kubica definitely out-driving his teammate to the
hill. Significantly so.
And the other person is Bruno Senna, which is nice to hear that name, Senna.
Yeah, interesting to hear his name in here. I really wish he'd maybe not jumped to get in with HRT so quickly, because probably could have gotten one of the seats at some of the other teams.
Well, to be honest with you, I would have liked to have seen him at Renault instead of Vitaly Petrov.
Yeah, definitely.
But the Russians do have rubles.
Yeah, well, and the other thing, too, is that Senna signed
for Campos.
Campos, like practically the day Campos got their contract.
Well, I don't blame him. I mean, you know, you want to make sure you get there somehow.
Almost a mistake in that he almost didn't make it with Campos.
That's true, but if he, you know, this race I think is an exception, even though it's the first race. I still prefer Australia to be the opening season race, but still, this track
in its old configuration would have been a much better weekend. I think that's true. The new tires, the new no refueling, and then the new hyper bumpy new section really didn't favor the new teams in any way. In fact, it made it significantly worse for them.
Exactly, and I'm glad it's behind them. They should be glad it's behind them. And I would look at this as the season starting all over when we get to Australia.
Yeah, especially for the new teams in the fact.
Absolutely.
And frankly, for those guys, I think they've got to almost take that attitude with every race for the entire season. That, you know, hey,
that's true.
Let's start over again. And, you know, we've got some experience now in the bucket. Let's move forward. And that's the other problem I see with these poor new teams coming in is, one, you've got to build up an infrastructure. And two, two-thirds of these teams that are in Formula One now have 20, 30-plus years of experience, you know, institutional experience in putting a car on track, you know, every other weekend for half a year.
Absolutely. It's like an elementary student going up against PhDs. It's brutal. Let's go right to Q3. And then it just, you know, when I saw Q3 start, it dawned on me. The Formula One season has started. Yay! And it was exciting. Only 10 minutes. And everybody is light on fuel.
Yep, exactly.
And that part I like.
Yeah, the other interesting thing, especially with this particular track, is that with 10 minutes...
What, 5 laps? Max? Well, barely.
You could get 5 laps if you stayed out for the entire session. And this even is then, you'd be pretty close.
I agree. And this is where you have to weed out all the junk. And that's why this last 10 minutes in Q3 was sort of fun.
Yeah, and then the other issue too is that the wrinkle that they decided to throw in it, since you couldn't, you know,
you are bitter inside.
You couldn't stick them with, you know, the fuel loads. You go, okay, well, those are the tires you're going to call it. You're going to run. So very interesting, and basically everybody but Adrian Sutil runs the final session on the super softs.
Correct. What was really impressive is how people waited, and Sebastian Vettel pretty much just one lap and just said, hello.
Nail it.
I mean, and that's what's impressive about Sebastian Vettel. This guy will be world champion. There's just no doubt.
Yeah. At some point in his career, he's gonna be in the right car in the right season, and he's going to nail it. And frankly, the way Sunday goes, it could be this year. His car is good enough. He's good enough.
His car is good enough.
He's going to have a hard time. Hopefully, yeah, we'll get to that in a minute.
But it's very impressive. He bangs out such a good. And once again, you know, Mercedes is looking pretty good. And what was really strange is Mercedes waited a long while. For a minute there, and what's interesting with the top 10, in the final 10 minutes, you could choose not to go out. You're still in the top 10.
Yep.
And if you really don't think that you're going to make any progress after Q2, what's the point?
Yeah, why put the time on the clock other than, you know,
and for a minute, maybe I thought
upsetting
that,
the fans.
I thought that might happen. But in the end, towards the end of the 10-minute session, everybody did finally go out.
Yeah, and there may be a subclause within the sporting regs that we don't see that says that get out there or we're going to fine you. A good session overall, and very interesting looking at the final times in the fact that Sebastian Vettel got pole with a lap that was actually slower than his Q2 lap.
Not too surprising, but I think a lot of people were hoping and looking at Michael Schumacher to be on the front row perhaps, but of course Nico Rosberg outperforms him once again.
Out-qualifies his teammate, which is,
which is what
after listening to Nasser for 4 years, realized that that is huge.
It's huge. And that's what he needs to do.
Yep.
Unlike Jenson Button, who did not do it.
No, who in fact was, sorry to say, that infamous 6/10 behind his teammate.
The 6/10. We've heard that before, haven't
yeah,
we?
Yeah. But Jen's just definitely not showing his pace. And then also the other issue, too, a lot of people talking about, oh, this is going to really affect Lewis with the full gas tanks because he's so hard on his tires. And an interesting bit that Lewis came back with that, like, that's just one of the ways I drive. I drive as is needed in the moment for that particular turn.
Of course.
I can be smooth. I can be aggressive. I can be tough on my car. But I can do all of it. And that's why I'm the 10th.
Hence, Formula One drivers being the best drivers in the world.
Exactly.
I mean, even... You know, Adrian Sutil. I mean, all of these guys are very, very talented.
Exactly. Some a tiny bit more than others. But you know, if you look at the times between the first and last in that final session, it's 2 seconds, which seems a pretty good size gap considering what we've seen in the past years. But also got to look at, too, that between the first and the ninth, it was not even 2 seconds. And really, if you look at the reason Sutil's slower is because he was made a strategic choice to go out on the hard tires in an effort to possibly stay out longer than everybody else at the start.
Which is fine. I think first race, you got to be a little aggressive. You've got a few things to lose. This is when you want to take some chances. Want to do that in the middle or the end of the season.
No. And so you're also looking at a situation, too, where every strategy is an untried strategy.
And I think Adrian Sutil is becoming a better driver. He's almost as good as his piano playing.
Yeah, he's he's actually a really good driver, and this year he's got a definitely more competitive package because Force India made final sessions, what, 2-3 times last year?
Correct.
So, you know, the fact that he's up there and Vitantonio didn't miss the final session by all that much.
And I think the biggest disappointment in all this, the team that looked good in testing, that, you know, even Bridgestone said they might have the edge because they're not wearing out the tires, was BMW Sauber powered by Ferrari.
Yeah. And you, that comes down to, okay, sure, they can look good on the, you know, well, maybe they're not wearing out the tires because they're not driving them aggressively.
Well, I didn't tell them to choose Pedro de la Rosa, even though I like Kobayashi.
Yeah. And then, you know, Pete, I think Pete is a development choice. He's also, you know, he's a good, solid veteran
presence. Sure.
It's why you pick
Absolutely.
Him up. So
who's in?
So,
Vettel,
Sebastian Vettel on pole for the 2010 Formula One Gulf Air Bahrain Grand Prix. Next to him will be Felipe Massa, making his tremendous, fabulous return from injury last season.
Not only that, but this is his best. I mean, it's very impressive.
Not only that, but it also, it's a feather in his cap to start the season in the fact that he outpaced.
Qualified Fernando Alonso.
His teammate.
And that's what you want to do. So Nico and Felipe go to the I out-qualified my teammate club after qualifying.
Exactly. And, you know, frankly, I expect on Ferrari it's going to flip-flop all season. Just because these two drivers are phenomenal. One guy's going to nail the lap, and one guy's going to bobble.
And this is why we all love you so much, Steve, because of that open mind and that, you know, God, thinking that Felipe has a chance. That's just so beautiful, Stephen. Yeah, beautiful.
Well, but unlike those two, next to Fernando Alonso will be Lewis Hamilton, outpacing his teammate pretty well.
Well, he was at the club.
Yep. Third row, Nico Rosberg, joined by Mark
club
Webber.
Member.
Yep. Then the fourth row will be Michael Schumacher, next to Jenson Button. And to finish up the top 10, Robert Kubica in 9 with Adrian Sutil in 10. And as we mentioned, Adrian Sutil is going to be the only guy in the grid who's going to start, or the only in the top, one in the top 10 who's going to start on the hard tire.
And Rubens Barrichello, who's starting 11th.
Yeah, but I'm just saying of the top 10.
Right, okay. Keep up the good work, Stephen. And, you know, this is – what's really funny, okay, we've got qualifying done. Not huge surprises. Schumacher is a 7th. 1991 Spa-Francorchamps, his first Grand Prix. Starts 7th.
Yep.
So the numbers are driving for Michael already.
In a Mercedes-powered car, by the way.
The numbers are driving. He's a happy – I don't think he's too disappointed.
No, I think he's happy, one, to get into the final session.
Absolutely.
And two, to not be looking slow.
Absolutely. You don't want to be out there coming back after, you know – a great career, and fighting with Vitantonio Liuzzi.
Yeah, exactly. And he's not being outpaced by his teammate by some great margin.
No.
Just it's obvious. Almost, you look at it, it's a rust factor. He's just not as sharp as Michael Schumacher would have been
it's
3 years
tin
ago.
It's the man who didn't get enough oil in the upper arms and the knees.
Or he got oil in that WD-40.
Yeah, exactly. But, and I'm a stickler about WD-40. I don't like it. Stick with oil.
3-in-1?
Oh, yeah. I love it. It's like a 10-weight. Perfect. But, very exciting stuff. No huge surprises. I'm just giddy because it's the...
Frankly, it's the
first race. Started.
It's the first race of the season.
Yeah. So, it was exciting. And then, you know, I go to bed and I'm ready. And
up an hour early.
Exactly. I'm getting coffee ready, updating the website.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, here in America, we had a time change last night.
Exactly. We go to daylight savings time, which started in World War I.
Spring forward, so we get to lose an hour of sleep.
Correct.
But then also screws up all of our timers because, like, 3 years ago, they changed what day that happens on.
Correct. And unfortunately, the electronic industry is a little bit out of touch with the atomic clock, I believe, is in Colorado.
Yeah.
So, my alarm clock changed last week. But it's funny because my computer
automatically
automatic.
That's because it updates.
Yes, it does update. So keep up the good work, Microsoft. Yes, I'm not a Mac guy. So anyway, let's go right to the Bahrain Grand Prix. And I had a few thoughts flowing because I watched the BBC. Good coverage. Some of it, they're a little rusty too. And, you know, the interviews, you know, with Lewis and Jenson Button and the questions, that was a yawner. But all in all, a good program.
Well, better than Speed. I think we got one pit lane interview.
Well, keep up the good work. Well, that's because they haven't hired myself or Nasser.
Exactly.
But we're not well known. You know, the listeners aren't sending the emails to Speed, which is what they need to do.
There you have it.
If they want quality Speed coverage, they need these dudes. At least Nasser. I mean, you know, I'm no slouch, but...
But Nasser would have the great, insightful...
Exactly.
Probing question that
he knows the drivers' grandmothers, their tree, you know, their family tree. I mean, it's ridiculous. Nasser is the encyclopedia. Yep. So we'd be a great team. Me with my energy and Nasser with the encyclopedia. It's perfect, but you know, they're not gonna call. So anyway, so here we go. We have no refueling. People were talking about 3 second tire changes, which is fast.
Yeah.
And not impossible. It's been done.
And actually, we saw some that were pretty damn close. But you know what was weird?
5 seconds.
I don't know about what you saw on the BBC, but on Speed's coverage of the pit lane stops, they started the clock when the car started.
And they didn't.
And didn't stop until they got out of the pit lane. I'm like, going,
yes. And there were some problems. And that's part of the FOM and the FIA and their timing. They were rusty too.
Yeah. So well, the other thing too is during quality, you know, they weren't giving you the standings on the side, which was really kind of annoying because it was like,
who's going to get bumped? Let's give them some breaks here.
No,
we had a problem here. But the big questions for me was, okay, will Fernando outrace Massa? Will Red Bull outrace Ferrari? And will Schumacher do well? Those were the questions for me. And both Ferraris, by the way, got new engines. Precautionary measure. No penalty.
Nope.
Because they have
eight
engines for the season. So
once they get the sand out of those other two, they can bring them back.
You can mix them up. And they can use the engine they pulled out for Friday practice. So I sort of like this rule. I think as we get more and more races through the season, eight is a little slow. I mean, it's low, but...
You know. Well, basically puts you in a position where you have to use it's a minimum of two for a race, and then you're going to have a handful of races where you're going to have to use an engine a third time.
Exactly. And the gearboxes 4 times.
Yeah, something like that. So that's kind of an interesting bit of strategy. You know, Ferrari will send those back to the plant, get them rebuilt within the regulations, which means basically they'll probably strip them down, make sure that there's no sand in them, and put them back together again.
I love it, Steven. I'd love to be part of that.
That'd be fun, wouldn't it? Tearing down a Ferrari race engine?
Any engine. I'll take John Deere's tractor.
Some big tin can, coffee can size.
Pistons? Oh, yeah. It's lovely.
Have you ever seen the stuff on Discovery Channel about the ships, about the cylinders on some of those that are just like Steven, the size of a bus?
You're drifting.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Anyway, so there you go. And real quickly, I want to mention before we start this race is KERS, Kinetic Energy Recovery Systems, is still in the rules. You can have it if you want, but nobody does.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got enough weight on the car.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, but could you imagine putting KERS on the car the fuel gas tank? Ooh, can you say, what tires? They wore off on the second lap.
Yeah, so KERS still in the rules, but nobody's using it. And I think it's also a photo agreement. That it costs so it's just too much money.
Yeah, and it really, you know, they didn't structure the rules very well to make it attractive to the teams that could develop it.
Exactly. Now the other big rule, and this is from Bernie, because you know it's really hard. I mean, F1 Weekly has tried to get press passes to Formula One racers, and we were laughed at, and then they sent a lawyer after us.
Exactly.
So
yeah, we're not giving you passes. And by the way, What's your name again?
Exactly. But apparently, Formula One drivers are really pissed off because they're not allowed to have their physios on the grid anymore. Bernie didn't want to give them passes.
Oh.
And their physios, it's like, you know, that's their guru.
Yep.
Their Nasser Hamid. That, you know, massages them and makes sure that they're in tip-top physical condition.
Probably hydrated. And
the whole thing, you know, no pimples or acne. These people are important, and apparently no physios allowed on the grid. Keep up the good work, Bernie, the anti-physio.
He's trying to get bodies off the grid.
Because that's what it was. He said there was just too many people on the grid. I'd rather have the CEOs of all these sponsors, the naked girls.
And the people that have paid me a big bit of money to get their pass.
And you know what? He's got a point.
Yeah.
He's got a point.
We'll see how this works when we get to Monaco, because frankly, Monaco was always the grid where it looked like the concert had just gotten out.
Well, things, I don't know. Right now, the F1 drivers are set to continue a boycott about the decision to not give their personal physios grid access before the start of the Grand Prix. A leading driver who wished to remain anonymous told our favorite website, Autosport, that they were angry that F1 Supremo Bernie Ecclestone had refused to give grid access to their physios. The drivers have told him that they need their pampering by their physios to ensure that they are in perfect physical condition. So there you go. You have to, it's, you know, excuse me, another cigarette. You know, these guys are very sensitive. They're prima donnas.
Yeah, well, they're,
they need their entourage.
Highly, highly trained athletes.
Exactly. So, I don't know. I'm, you know, these drivers, if they want their physios, let them have their physios.
Yeah.
So, there you have it. Anyway, let's go right to the Grand Prix. God, as soon as the roll-off started, you know, you get that.
Exactly.
You get pumped up.
Adrenaline starts.
You're like, the adrenaline starts pumping.
You guys hurry up and get around the track and get this thing going.
Yeah, you're going, woo! Another, you know, your fifth cup of coffee, and you're just going, So I was pretty excited, but still, let's just go for it, Steven.
The lights go out,
and they're off. A good start for Sebastian Vettel.
Yeah, a outstanding start. He basically no challenge from anyone behind him.
No, and of course Fernando Alonso. For a minute, flashback to the McLaren days, Germany. And says,
I'm busy.
It was a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. But I knew Fernando was going to get by Massa.
And
because
he
has to.
And not only that, but it was perfectly executed. He basically takes him low on the first corner, goes inside him, and then gets out of the corner fast enough
that's what's so cool. He's already looking about the second corner.
Yeah, he knew that the overtake was between the first and second corner, not the first corner. He's just got to get there at the same time, and then he can beat him out to the
second. Exactly, which was a beautiful thing.
Yeah, exactly. And then just as we're getting around, we see that the leader's getting past the second turn, and all of a sudden there's this huge plume of blue smoke.
It's like, I thought there was an accident for sure.
Or you look at Weber's car, you see that big plume of smoke come out, you're going, dude, he's done already.
There you go. Let's blame Renault right now. That's it. I was going to go out to my garage and just burn the car.
Exactly.
No.
But interestingly, he throws up this big plume of smoke. It works as a smoke screen and gets the guys behind him a little confused.
And it's a sort of a sad confusion because Robert Kubica
bumps Adrian Sutil.
And Adrian Sutil was, you know,
they both end up turned backwards,
which was a big
bummer. Everybody else gets by him, which was a real big bummer because both of them in a good position to start this race, and then to take that hit early was really rough. But you were like going, okay, where we're going to come in? He's not losing any pace. What the?
Yeah, they overfilled the oil container and it just
the oil tank.
And
threw a little on the exhaust.
Yeah.
I could see this becoming a tactic, you know.
It's beautiful.
Coming down the road.
Yeah, I think it started with Batman.
Yeah, exactly.
But the other person who had a good start for Lotus was Heikki Kovalainen. He went from P21 to P16 in the first lap.
That, and we should also mention, too, that both of the HRT cars started from the pit lane.
Yes, correct.
Apparently, they still had some rebuilding to do.
Well, which is nothing wrong with that.
No, exactly. The cars are still getting put together. They probably just had parts flown in overnight, that kind of stuff.
But anyway, Mark Webber gets it together after the smokescreen, passes Jenson Button. Terrible start, like we said, for Robert Kubica from P8 to P21.
Yeah, all the way to the back.
Renault were looking at each other and going, boy, we miss Fernando. ¿Dónde está Fernando? Oh, yes, he's...
he's in front of Felipe. Where else would you expect him to be? Very interesting. We get into the second lap, and before the second lap is over, one of the HRT cars is done for the day.
Karim Chandouk out.
Never saw anything of what actually happened, but because the shot they showed of the car, he was missing his front wing.
Yeah, but I think there was more to it than that. But
basically, had a hydraulic failure which caused him to go into the fence.
Probably. but still, and he was a nervous wreck.
Oh, yeah.
They interviewed him.
He was that, and then watching him on the pit wall trying to explain what happened. No, actually, that wasn't him. That was the virgin kid,
Degrassi. Shandoke even told the BBC that even his seat wasn't fitting correctly. I mean, we're talking everything. So, kudos to them for making it, and I think things will be improved for them by Australia.
Yeah, they got 2 weeks to catch up with some of the little things, like making sure the seat fits the driver.
It's very important. Lap 3, fast lap of the race, Sebastian Vettel with a 2:02.517. Nico Hülkenberg loses it. Degrassi is stopped on
lap the three. Track. Nico, very interesting watching Nico's off. He's going, it twitches, exactly. And it's gone.
Yeah.
He slides across. He barely misses, I think it was one of the virgin cars, or maybe it was a Sauber, but it just barely misses him.
He ran and it was gone.
And then he was able to get back on track and rejoin the race, which was really good to see. Hate to see, don't want to see anybody out this early.
I agree. Especially somebody that talented.
Yeah.
Lap 4, Nico Hülkenberg pits, goes with the hard compound. And just quickly, I want to mention that now the stewards have former race drivers that will help them make big decisions.
Yeah, there's now a race driver included in the set of stewards for every race.
And for this race, it was the professor himself.
Alain Prost?
Exactly. The machismo.
Well, they had all of the they had all of the former living world champions except for one or two at the race. So, they could have had their pick, brought in a couple extras.
Yeah. So that was pretty exciting. Lap 5, Adrian Sutil passes Heikki Kovalainen for P17. And on lap 6, Lewis Hamilton is already pressuring Nico Rosberg.
Nico.
And he's sort of stuck behind Nico Rosberg for a good while. And by the way, Fernando Alonso is 0.2 faster than Sebastian Vettel on lap 6. Lap 7, Yarno Trulli thinks his Lotus is damaged and calls in.
Classic Yarno.
Well, dude, this is a young team here. Yeah. Let's give Yarno a break. They need this kind of veteran input, but not sure what was going on there.
Yeah, because I don't think he came in.
No, they told him just keep driving, shut the hell up.
Yeah. Is the motor running?
Exactly.
Keep your ass out there.
The lap 7, Mark Webber is now gaining on 7-time world champion Michael Schumacher. Lewis Hamilton showing signs of tire issues. And the other person who got a great start is Vittorio Liuzzi for Force India.
He actually benefited a great deal
that's what's going to happen. Yeah. People screw up, other people benefit.
Yep.
Nico Rosberg, 4.5 seconds from the leader, Vital.
Yeah. It seemed to me in the first dozen laps or so that Vettel was kind of going back and forth to pressing and conserving.
That's what you have to, and that's what's going on. A number of times, Fernando, Felipe Massa, they're not only conserving, but we're talking a very hot track here.
Yeah.
The weather is hot. Their team is telling them, wait a minute, you know, we're reaching the limits here. You might want to conserve, save fuel, save engine, save coolant.
Yeah, so kind of keep going back and forth because you'd see like three laps in a row, Fernando would close the gap on Vettel, and then the following two laps after that, Vettel would open the gap back up.
Well, not only that, but Fernando would have to slow down to stay away from the turbulent hot air from Sebastian Vettel.
Yep.
So, I mean, it was give and take, an accordion effect.
Yeah.
Which wasn't exciting for the viewers. And to be honest with you, I started thinking, you know what, this non-refueling season, you know, full fuel loads, we may have some boring races this year.
Yeah, it's not like we didn't have any boring races when we had refueling.
What's your point, Steve? Keep up the good work. Lap 8, Felipe Massa, fastest in Sector 1. And, you know, who's going to pit first? When are they going to pit? Very big question.
Exactly. How long are these soft tires going to last? Because we were watching in practice where guys like Lewis Hamilton go out, and within four laps, you go, these tires are gone.
And that's what a lot of people thought was the norm. Lap 9, fastest lap of the race, Felipe Massa with a 2:02.494. And Adrian Sutil is closing in on Robert Kubica, both with, of course, terrible starts. Lap 10, Pedro De La Rosa passes Kobayashi for P12. And I said earlier in the program, Sauber has been a disappointment, and they are a disappointment. Felipe Massa now 0.2 slower than Fernando Alonso. And, of course, Degrassi, they did announce, had hydraulic issues. Lap 11, fast lap of the race, Sebastian Vettel, 2.02318. And now the gap is 15 seconds to number four, Nico Rosberg.
Yeah.
Number five, Nico Rosberg.
The front runners are really starting to run away.
Lap 12, first pit stop is coming. Bruno Senna pits. Robert Kubica pits from P16. Lap 13, Timo Glock passes Heikki Kovalainen of Lotus.
And something I like to mention about the HRT start. You can tell the guys did not have a lot of practice because it was the longest pit stop of the day, and he only changed tires.
That's true. I noticed that too. But see, I wasn't in a criticizing mood. I said, you know what? These guys haven't even gotten the car on the track hardly at all.
Frankly, so, it doesn't even seem as though they had a car in the garage to practice doing tire changes.
Well, they should have been practicing at home with a fake car or something.
Should have been, you know, doing it the old way, you know, do it NASCAR style with the five lug nuts, at least to get some practice.
Okay, Steven. Lap 14. AJ. Who's AJ?
AJ. I didn't know that Allmendinger had come to.
Allmendinger. No, he's not in here. I must be thinking about Alguersuari. I don't know. So, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. But anyway, one of those problems I found with some of the
new
the three-letter acronyms for some of these drivers, I was like, what? Huh? Who is that?
I know.
And like GIU. Who's exactly. GIU?
Yeah, he's GI Joe. Vitaly Petrov pits. Problem with the rear wheel at first, but then they're looking at the front wishbones. This was a brutal pit stop, which turns out to be the end of the race for him.
Yeah, apparently he somehow managed to break out one of the spacers on one of the swing arms on the front of the car, and apparently losing that spacer in turn caused greater damage to the rest of the suspension for that wheel.
Yeah, once you start getting slack,
it's whack, over. Whack, whack.
Yeah, and carbon fiber doesn't like whack, 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 no. Steven.
So, brutal to be out that soon to basically what amounts to probably one of the least expensive parts of the car.
Yeah. Robert Kubica, once he pitted, came out and he started kicking some bootay. Fastest sector one, lap 14, fast lap of the race, Robert Kubica in his Renault 2:01.397.
That was one of the things that I noticed today that I really enjoyed, though, is the fact that because every car is getting lighter as we go through the race, that there were a vast number of individuals who held fastest lap at one point or another during the race.
Correct, especially right after they got the new tires.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lap 15, people start pitting for their new Bridgestones. Lewis Hamilton, Michael Schumacher, Adrian Sutil, all pit. Michael Schumacher, good pit stop. 4.8, comes back out in 10th spot. Lap 16, Fernando Alonso pits. Nico Rosberg pits and comes out in front of Michael Schumacher, but behind Lewis Hamilton, they leapfrogged.
Yeah, that hurt because Luham's got just a tiny bit faster car,
and
apparently.
To be honest with you, Lewis Hamilton was a little bit faster, and I can see why they were focused on getting him in front of Nico. Yeah. That was a good job by McLaren. Lap 17, Sebastian Vettel pits, Felipe Massa pits. They both go with the hard compound.
And kudos to both Red Bull and Ferrari. I mean, it's like, did he stop?
Yeah.
Type pits. They were so quick.
Blink of an eye. And on lap 17, fast lap of the race, Lewis Hamilton with a 2.00447. Timo Glock pits. And I just want to mention real quickly, we've got a new rule in the pits. The 55-meter rule, Stephen.
55-meter rule?
Yeah, the 55-meter rule in the pits means that you cannot just release a car hoping to beat the other guy if it's not safe. You have to have a 55-meter
gap before you can release.
So that's going to hurt some people. It's going to help
some people. You get a penalty, it's going to really hurt.
It's a drive-through penalty.
I did see one instance where it increased the length of the pit stop for a driver because his board guy couldn't cut him loose because the other car coming in was too close.
Exactly. And we had a number of those incidents last year, and the FIA said no more.
Yep.
So there you go, the 55-meter rule, which is also, I think, in the Olympics.
Huh?
What? Lap 18, Lewis Hamilton passes Rubinho for P5, HRT out. Looks like a kablamo.
Yeah, but it's not. Again, probably.
It's Bruno.
Yeah, poor Bruno. Pulls over, lots of smoke. Did you hear what the cause?
They're saying it was hydraulic again. Everybody's blaming hydraulics for anything.
Yeah, you don't want to blame the motors. That would upset the motor vendors.
Well, you know, that could be a very good point. Everybody's so sensitive.
So politically correct.
Yeah,
don't blame the motors.
But no, apparently it wasn't a motor, and it wasn't the kind of kablamo we used to see from Honda, you know, back in the day when you would just
when you'd see smoke come off the car like Mark Webber's car during the race.
Exactly. So
when you've got oil spewing over all the hot components to create this beautiful plume of smoke.
So I'm going to go ahead and tell him I believe Bruno, I'm sure it was a hydraulic situation.
Lap 19. Congratulations to HRT for being there.
Exactly. USF 1. Lap 19, fast lap of the race. Felipe Massa, 2 minutes, 0.117. Rubens Barrichello pits. And Vitantonio Liuzzi is in fourth place.
And he's the only one of the top 10 who has yet to make a stop.
You think Scott Speed's watching this on TV?
Probably not. He's probably behind the wheel of a tin top.
No,
well, he's probably fast asleep in a bed, awaiting an opportunity to get into a tin top.
He's waiting for his mom to make him breakfast. Trust me. Lap 19, we have Sebastian Vettel in the front, Fernando Alonso, Felipe Massa, Vitantonio Liuzzi, Lewis Hamilton, Nico Rosberg, Rubinho, Michael Schumacher, Jenson Button, and of course, Mr. Webber. Lap 20, Vitantonio Liuzzi pits, 5.6 second stop. Good job goes on the softs.
Yeah, you know, it's starting to look like it's going to be a one-stop race.
Mm-hmm.
That
at least for the top runners.
Yeah, just you basically start with the softs and then go to the hards and stay with them.
I agree. Lap 21, Fernando Alonso to Felipe Massa, 2.4 seconds. Lap 22, Fernando Alonso, fastest in Sector 2, 24.0. And Fernando Alonso all of a sudden just got excited and took 0.5 from Sebastian Vettel. Lap 23, Rubens Barrichello passes Sebastian Buemi for P10. And Mark Webber is pressuring Jenson Button, who's not really having a great day.
No.
He's the world champion.
Yeah, and he's getting no respect.
None whatsoever. But, of course, they're saving the tires.
This is going to be an annoying statement for the rest of the season.
Well, and that's why this race was somewhat boring, because everybody was so focused on their stinking tires that
they weren't really concerned about the guy in front of them and getting past them.
Not only that, but who's coming up with these rules? I mean, they've got to think about the show. the people.
Yeah, they need a competition committee that, you know, makes it more competitive.
Maybe the former race drivers?
Ooh, there'd be a general idea. No way.
Lap 25, Robert Kubica gets by Pedro de la Rosa and also by Sebastian Buemi. Jarno Trulli pits, Sebastian Buemi pits, Nico Hülkenberg pits, and Michael Schumacher is beginning to catch his teammate.
Ooh.
I'm in the rhythm. Yeah. I'm in the rhythm.
Look out, Nico. Here I come.
Lap 27, Jaime Alguersuari pits from P13, and Senna says on the BBC, it was hydraulic failure.
Did he actually say it with an English accent?
No.
No.
I can't do
an Argentine accent?
It's Brazilian.
Oh, Brazilian. Sorry.
But close.
A South American accent?
There you go. Thank you, Stephen. Keep up the good work. Lap 28, Sebastian Vettel slowing a bit. I say slowing a bit, and I think he's just saving tires. And all of a sudden, he's fastest in Sector 2. Pedro de la Rosa pits on P12. He's out. I don't know what was wrong with the car.
You know, and
Sauber not having a great day, and I didn't see anything. He pits, and there's something wrong.
Yeah. And, you know, they it's really not very nice of them to come and not tell us.
Nope. Fastest Sector 1 time in lap 28 was from Felipe Massa in Sector 1, lap 29. Fast lap of the race. Fernando Alonso, bravo, 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 bravo. 159.583. The first man to go under
2.
Yep, the under the old 2-minute mark. Sebastian Vettel to Fernando, 1.5 seconds. We're talking some machismo.
Yeah, he's catching up.
Lap 30. Fernando Alonso looking at Sebastian Vettel's tires. Will they last?
Fernando Alonso. Very interesting. About that same time, Vettel's pit crew calls him and goes, oh, Fernando's going to burn up his tires. Just keep him behind you.
Exactly. Well, and Fernando is realizing that he's got to – these engines are going to get hot. We're in Bahrain. It's 35 centigrade. It's going to be hot.
Exactly. And
Fernando, you know, they tell him you got to keep your engine cool. Stay out of the turbulence. Stay out of the hard air. So you see Fernando catching – some clear air here and
there.
Yeah,
very interesting to see him come out of a corner, especially towards the straights.
And not following Vettel's line. But he had to. He was doing the right thing. Lap 31, Heikki Kovalainen pits. First pit stop for him. That was a long stint on the first set of tires. Very impressive. And, of course, the team tells Sebastian Vettel to just continue. Do not stop. Go, baby, go.
Go, baby, go. Fernando can't catch you. He can't. He's not going to have tires.
Exactly.
Not
only
that.
He
can't stay cool enough to
stay close.
Lap
32, Fernando has a bad lap. He drops like 6 to 7 tenths. Team telling Felipe Massa and Fernando to take it easy. They see the temperature rising. They don't have clean air because Sebastian Vettel's in the front. And so we may keep that gap, you know. Don't get too excited. Points. Remember, Nando, points is the primary goal here.
Yep.
Because the point system has changed, and you've got to get those second and third are really important points, even though number one gets 25.
Yeah, it's huge to get the top end points.
And all of a sudden, lap 33, there's a problem with Sebastian Vettel's car.
Something,
loss of power.
Yeah. Something broke.
Something is wrong. And of course, the first thing they do, and the whole world does, is they call Renault. What is the problem?
No, the talk on speed was,
what did speed say?
That he lost an exhaust. One of his exhaust headers had come loose.
That's what they were saying too on the BBC. And not only that, but they had photographs post race. But apparently, it was more. It was not exhaust in the end, but a spark plug.
Yeah, which ultimately, if it's exhaust or spark plug, that's not the engine manufacturer's fault.
Well, you know, but everybody loves to blame the French, Steve.
I know.
And I'm, you know, saying, what? If it gives people that warm feeling inside, let it be. I don't have a problem with it, not whatsoever. But I do have a problem with what kind of spark plugs they're running, and I want to find out as soon as possible. Heat is a problem for everybody at this race. We have a lot of cars that are already out. Now, I know we have 3 new teams. They're falling by the wayside. But still, heat is brutal on these cars. Lap 35. Fernando Alonso says, sayonara to Sebastian Vettel as he passes and says,
"Hi, Seb. Bye, Seb."
Yep. He says, "I am going to win. Yes. I am in machismo." It was pretty cool.
And it was pretty interesting. As soon as he got past Seb, look, you shot out of a cannon. Well,
that clean air, and all of a sudden those ducks were just breathing free. Yeah. And it was just like being in Grenoble, you know, with that fresh mountain air. It was just fun.
If you say so, Mr. Rogers.
Thank you very much. Fast lap of the race, lap 35. Fernando Alonso with a 1:59.477. Lap 36. Lewis Hamilton is now catching Sebastian Vettel. And another fast lap from who? El Machismo de España. 1:59.879. Everybody's talking about the exhaust has failed on the Red Bull.
Yeah, and everybody's...
And then they start talking about the revolutionary exhaust that Adrian Newey has designed.
And they're also talking about how far is he going to fall before exactly. the end of the race. You know, not exactly. Half the people, you know, half the guys in speed had him out, basically had him out of the points.
Well, yeah, what do those people on speed know?
Huh? Well,
nothing.
They're a little dated as far as their experience goes.
Well, what was impressive is he didn't break down.
No.
He continued.
And he puts in a damn good race considering the loss of power he saw to finish where he does.
Well, if you have a spark plug failure on a V8, that means now a V7.
Yeah. Or actually, it's probably like 7.5 because he's probably getting a couple of pops out of it once in a while. Once in a while.
I understand. I've had a couple of cars like that. My 1956 Duchesneau used to do that. And that was bad. It was a 2-cylinder.
Yeah, that's a little rough when you're running on 1.5.
Oh, my God. Lap 38, Lewis Hamilton is catching Sebastian Vettel. Fernando Alonso to Felipe Massa is 5.2 seconds. Felipe Massa trying to close the gap.
He doesn't have much success.
Well, the best part is on 39, Jenson Button is closing in on Schumacher. Ferrari only two cars under 2 minutes. Ferrari are the only two cars under 2 minutes. What does that tell you, Stephen?
That we're going to be seeing a lot of red this year.
Yeah. I'd get that red dress pressed if I were you.
Yeah, take out the old red caps.
Yep, I'm telling you right now. But the F1 Weekly cap is not available in red, Steve.
Really? Why not?
French Racing Blue only.
Oh, boy. Thank you.
Lewis Hamilton on lap 40 reports that he's having a little good vibrations on the front end, and he's not talking Beach Boys.
He probably shouldn't have flat spotted that tire.
Speaking of tires, I saw nobody really locking them up and smoke and flat spotting tires. I thought all the drivers did a pretty good job at managing. And I think, to be honest with you, with the first race, too many people were conservative on handling these tires. Yeah. I think we're going to see a little bit more aggression in Australia.
Yeah, I think you will. Not only that, but the other thing, too, I think that caused everybody to kind of pull back a bit on tires was how hot it was.
That's true.
You don't know how long the softs or even the hards are going to last when the track is running at 120, 140 degrees.
Can Mark Webber save Red Bull? He's having a lackluster day.
Period. No, he basically, part of it is the heat and everybody conserving tires. And you saw what happened to the Ferraris behind the Red Bull in that you can't really get close enough to really put up a good pass because you go 2-3 turns that way and you're overheating.
Right. And your tires are degrading. So, no, it's not exciting. It's not working. And there you go. Michael Schumacher needs to pick up the pace. Jenson Button, Mark Webber are on his bootay. Fernando Alonso to Felipe Massa, 8.8 seconds. Huh. Pulling away a little bit, Steve. Do you think Felipe's worried?
No, because
his papa wasn't giggling.
No, but Felipe's a good man, so he's gonna—he's not gonna push.
You know, they used to say that about Rubinho.
Yeah, isn't it sad? That's what happens when you miss the championship by a point. You may never get another chance.
That's true. Lewis Hamilton fastest in Sector 1 on lap 42 with a 31.5, and Nico Rosberg is beginning to catch Sebastian Vettel. And I thought Nico needs to pound a good lap in.
I thought
he was going to get him.
Yeah,
because they must have been on the radio.
He was like 2 or 3 seconds down on Vettel with 6 laps to go.
They knew Vettel had a problem. And it was reported amongst everybody.
And you could see where it was pretty easy for people to put a lap on him. It was really surprising. I'm just guessing that Nico couldn't throw down all that great a lap because his tires were
Mercedes Grand Prix is telling Michael Schumacher on lap 44, you may be able to catch Sebastian Vettel
right before the end of the race.
Before the end of the race. And that did not happen.
No.
It seemed like maybe the spark plug started sparking. I'm not sure. But Vettel really...
I think Vettel may have also kind of got the rhythm to make what he had work.
Exactly.
And get the most out of what he had
made
left.
Made the adjustment and to keep the car in the points, which was very, very impressive.
And well into the points, because when it happened, you know, they were talking about it finishing and getting one or two points.
Exactly. So Vettel is staying ahead of Nico Rosberg and Michael Schumacher. Lap 45, Ferrari are now having some concerns. You see the Ferrari crew looking at Felipe Massa's barge boards.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently there was something, maybe he picked up.
Picked up something, or when he bounced through that rough section, that he kind of dislodged something. At one point, they showed Felipe's race engineer poking his head out of the fence as Felipe's car went past, trying to get an eyeball on what was going on. And then they went back and showed him looking at the monitors and running replays of shots where you could see that, what was it, the right front barge board.
Right.
And trying to see if what was going on. And I think what it was, he may have been seeing more. There probably was an elevated temp on that side. And so they thought that something was messing up airflow.
Or it could have been that stick that Fernando Alonso stuck in there right before the race.
No, I think what Fernando did is he put a piece of tape.
That's it.
That was set up so that as the race went on, it would eventually free itself and stick to the radiator.
Perfect. Perfect. Because right as they were looking at Felipe Massa's car, Fernando Alonso bangs out. Fast lap of the race. 1:58.287. Felipe Massa on lap 46 has a little bit of a moment and loses the back end of the car, but very controlled. He's a professional.
Yeah, just a little kick out. Probably got a little bit of marble under one of the tires.
It's not marbling, Steven. Fernando's in front. He's behind. In second place.
Is he pressing?
No, but the Cupid doll showed up.
Uh-oh.
I'm telling you.
The little holographic one right
there. Trouble in River City with a capital T that rhymes with P that stands for pool.
So is that going to happen to poor Nico Rosberg later this season if Schumacher gets a
I'm just not the
upper hand?
Well, there you go. Anyway, Yarno Trulli going slow. The last of the Lotuses. We're hoping they finish. The new teams, you know.
Finish
the race. Just do it. Lap 47, Nico Rosberg getting ready to make a move on Sebastian Vettel. Fernando Alonso to Felipe Massa. 12 seconds. Machismo.
Very machismo.
Yeah. Well, you know.
And it gets better.
They're starting to take it easy. And not only that, but the team is telling both drivers, take it easy. Felipe, take the second spot. Let's not ruin these motors. We have a long season.
Yeah.
So besides my enthusiasm for Fernando, this is the right thing to do.
Yeah, definitely. The thing, basically, need to conserve the engines because, you know, this might be the engine you got to run three times and you don't want to stress it out too much.
Exactly.
In what amounts to, you know, without gain.
Lap 48, Sebastian Buemi has stopped El Toro Rosso Stinko on the racetrack.
He's not the only one.
No, a lot of people had a lot of trouble.
No, but he's not the only one that stops in the last lap, too.
No, well, yeah, I know.
Yarno doesn't make it back.
He doesn't make it over the finish line, but I think he's credited with something.
He did classify.
Exactly. I think he gets a bucket of chicken wings. Lap 49, Fernando Alonso rips off his visor on the last lap. Just because he wanted to see...
To better see that checkered flag.
No, to better see Felipe in the back. Yep.
The problem is that Fernando's practically off the front straight.
Thank you.
By the time Felipe comes across the line.
Well, we don't want to, you know. But anyway, there you have it. Fernando Alonso wins his first race with La Scuderia, which Raikkonen did in 2007.
The fourth, I believe, person to do it.
Yes, I mean, it happens, and, you know, Fernando Alonso, if anybody's going to do it, he's going to do it.
Yeah, he can't be one-upped by Kimi, come on.
But Sebastian Vettel, in the end, finishes fourth, which is a great, great achievement.
Oh, incredible. He ends up finishing about a second and a half ahead of Nico.
Yeah, so there you go. The Mercedes can't pass Sebastian. And in the end, it was a great race for Ferrari, obviously. Lewis Hamilton finishing third, I thought, was a good accomplishment for the team that admits they are lacking a little bit of pace.
Yeah, but they're not nearly like Ferrari were. They and Ferrari were last year so far behind the curve at the start of the season that, you know, trying to catch up was going to be a problem. They're just a little bit off the pace, not like they were last season where it's like, where's the leader?
Exactly. So give us the top 10, Steve.
Top 10. Fernando Alonso wins the 2010 Formula One Gulf Air Bahrain Grand Prix.
Bravo.
His teammate Felipe Massa finishes second. Lewis Hamilton of McLaren finishes third. Sebastian Vettel of the Red Bull team finishes fourth, hanging on to hold off Nico Rosberg, who finishes fifth, finishing ahead of his teammate Michael Schumacher. And then followed by Jenson Button, Mark Webber, and Vittorio Liuzzi, with Rubens Barrichello wrapping up the top 10. Remaining in the field to classify were Robert Kubica in 11th, Adrian Sutil in 12th, Jaime Alguersuari in 13th, Nico Hülkenberg finishes 14th, Heikki Kovalainen brings home one of the Lotuses, and Sebastian Buemi and Jarno Trulli are the final to qualify. Pedro De La Rosa, Bruno Senna, Timo Glock, Petrov, Kobayashi, Degrassi, finish.
There you go. So there was some talk at the end after the race. McLaren's Martin Whitmarsh believes Formula One needs to consider immediate rules tweak to spice up the spectacle after the rules failed to deliver an exciting race in Bahrain. Quote, the tires were much closer in the race than we expected, and they determined the spectacle. There was no real serious degradation of the tires. We started the roll-off pit stops because we were trying to get ahead of Mr. Rosberg. Everyone had to come in at that point. And there's talk about maybe making a mandatory 2 pit stop situation.
Two tires. You have to change tires twice.
Well, you know, and it was a bit of a boring race because the tires didn't degrade that quickly.
No.
And everybody was so
focused
on the tires, it was boring.
Well, considering how fast the softs went off in practice, I was amazed that they were able to get 14, 15 laps out of them with full tanks of gas.
Yeah, exactly. But it could have been that light fuel.
A little helium charged or something.
Exactly. It's bubbly. You know, it put a little effervescence in there. Thank you.
Carbonated fuel.
Of course, Luca de Montezemolo was exhilarated.
No rule changes.
No, not only that, but no broken TVs. So the whole household is just exhilarated.
Exactly.
You know, the TV merchant in town was disappointed. Yeah,
exactly.
Because he had a whole line of those fat screens ready to go. Those
big 60-inchers coming.
Yeah, and you know, that TV guy really disappointed when Fernando came on board.
Yeah, exactly.
He knew it was going to be trouble. But Montezemolo says, I am happy, but above all, really proud of my men who have done an extraordinary job.
You don't have an Italian accent either.
This victory has been pursued and wanted after months of hard work. I am extremely happy for them and for our fans. Ferrari is always Ferrari, and I'm delighted for our drivers too. Alonso starts with a victory, and Massa still so fast in a tough race after last year's terrible accident. And a first and second place, which encourages us to look forward. Keep up the hard work.
Yeah.
Almost the same as me, but not bad. I like that. Keep up the hard work, not the good work. Robert Kubica, very bummed out. He was bumming.
Oh, yeah, imagine that you're basically, he would have finished solidly in the points if he had not had the schlamazel on the first lap.
So there you have it. He is so bummed out, he went crying to his Polish sausage stand.
Yeah.
He had asked
crying for, in his bratwurst.
Asked for extra onions. And real quickly, I want to mention IndyCar had their race in the streets of Sao Paulo. Nobody told them that there was a racetrack over there. So they raced in the streets, you know.
Yeah, and that's a good drag in Sao Paulo, too. Yeah.
But anyway, the race was exciting. The race had to be halted for 45 minutes due to massive downpours. And when it resumed, Will Power and his Penske teammate Ryan Briscoe, we've interviewed him, nice guy, mounted an epic battle for the lead with Andretti Autosport's Ryan Hunter Ray. Power ultimately emerged on top and kicked some booty. Keep up the good work. Congratulations to Will Power and his cohorts.
Why are they racing the streets when they've got a perfectly good track?
Well, it's for fun, Stephen. Just like they're going to race in the streets of Roma in 2012 or 2013. Bernie's got it all set up. It's exciting. You ready?
Okay.
Dude, people like street races. You know, it's...
Yeah, it's kind of like, ooh, I could drive my car faster than that.
It's like a bump and grind thing. Anyway, we're going right to the 50 words on the Bahrain Grand Prix from the forum. Of course, we failed to beat the 99 folk on the forum at once. But we've gotten some new members that joined up yesterday, and it was exciting.
Woo-hoo.
Anyway, Iceman says, exhausted Vettel cracks in the heat, Weber put in the shade, Lewis Lux third, Alonso leans on Massa on lap one and gains track team position, Rosberg takes round one against Schumi, newbies need to test more, but two, Lotus finish, looks like TVs are safe in Maranello. Huh. Wow.
Miguel writes, a promising season may turn out to be a disappointment. Processional races are back. In due fashion, drivers caring more about the status of their tires and fuel than about the watching the guy in front. He attacked everything in life. Oh, that's his.
From Forza Minardi. Boring. You know, I wish he would tell us how he really feels.
Yeah, exactly. Don't sugarcoat it. Lion Bray writes, apart from the new guys, Schumacher, Button, and Weber, was the only real racing, and they still can't overtake if they are closer than half a second. Agree. Processional and boring racing.
From Stwirish, Stwirish. New member. Got the good work, Stwirish. Button is in for a long season, while Rosberg shows he can handle the pressure. Give Ferrari the Constructors' Championship now.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Mallory writes, boring, plus one. And Cosmos writes, three observations. Red Bull will rue the day they went to with in what?
Go ahead and take doctors.
You want to pick up the observations?
Yeah, you could do that.
Engine instead of Merc or Ferrari. Cars still can't overtake. For example, Rosberg couldn't overtake wounded Vettel at the end. Massa must have thought he can match Alonso's race pace. That is until Alonso engaged warp drive and disappeared. Machismo.
Okay, from the good doctor, Dr. Mark Farrington. The old order reasserts itself. Good day, Alonso, Ferrari, Hamilton, Lotus, Rosberg, Force India, Vettel. Bad day, Massa, RBR, Schumacher, Button, Weber, and especially the tires and the tire rules, which were responsible for making it dull and processional. We need two suppliers. Now, see, Ye doesn't believe in that. He doesn't believe that a tire should determine what's going on the track. But I'm more with Dr. Mark Farrington. I think a tire war is another variable that adds total excitement.
Add some excitement. Sihisin. Yeah, exactly.
What? How do you pronounce that?
I call it Sihisin.
I saw it Kehisin.
Professional race in a dull circuit. Was there anyone there except in the stands? Schumacher not able to keep up with Rosberg, who must be rather pleased with this unexpected development. Would Vettel, one with his full complement of exhaust pipes? Roll on, Oz.
I'm sorry, but you're contracted to write read Tricky Dick's comments. Oh, am I?
Okay. Tricky Dick writes, a generally uninteresting race. When will Bernie realize that true F1 fans want Australia to debut the season? Strong performance by Alonso. Weber was abysmal. Schumacher was not too far off the pace, but needs to get closer to Nico's beautiful rear end. Oh, why did I have to read that?
From Yay, after the big buildup, a disappointing bore. Now Bahrain is out of the way. Perhaps we will get some racing in Australia. Both Lotuses made it to the finish. Great job. They used to say the race is never won at the first corner. This may not be true this year.
Koala writes, boring. Processional racing, a promising season off to a bad start.
And of course, from JC Caruso, cable and internet out, missed the whole thing.
You didn't do, according to a lot of these people, you didn't miss much.
But hey, got F1 Weekly.
Yeah.
That lucky dog. Damn. And here is another new member, S2K James. Keep up the good work. Alonso got the better of Massa, but not by much. It's enough.
Enough. Exactly.
Okay, let me start over. Alonso got the better of Massa, but not by much. If Massa's comments about the fuel are correct, however, I think we will witness the slow destruction of Button and Weber this year. I totally agree, and you might throw in Massa in there. Yeah, just for laughs.
Just for laughs. It's Bright Music writes, as I expected, really, the teams were being careful for the first race, but expect unusual tire stops later on that will mix things up. It is a learning process, and I expect things will liven up as the season progresses. Virgin proved that pure computer-designed cars do work. They were the fastest of the new teams until they broke. Well, that's part of the problem with doing it in a computer is that it doesn't really give you the stresses that are involved.
Yeah, but USF1 did it in a wind tunnel.
No, they did it on a computer and never got it any further than that.
Keep up the good work, Steve, from Mayonnaise. It was a bit of a yawner. I don't like the new rules at all. Makes it a joke. Always has, in my opinion. All the new rules create is negative racing, in my opinion. Really discouraging to see that in F1, but that's where we are, and I've been for at least a decade. I still haven't posted in the How I Love to Live in the Countryside thread, which is it's a pretty good goal. Keep up the good work, and there you go, AutoRacer5's comments. And by the way, I want to congratulate AutoRacer5 for his poetry. It's very, very moving and very sensitive, and I'll probably read that on the next podcast with Nasser Amin. We might even make it into a song.
Oh, no, not another song. I should have, AutoRacers 5 writes, I should have stayed asleep. The only exciting part was the start and the first few laps. Shame about Vettel. IndyCar race was better.
From JDC55, another new member, welcome. What a letdown. I was so hyped up over the new season. I'm not passing judgment. After one race, I have a feeling things will get exciting.
Tifosi for Life writes, bravo, 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 via la Scuderia. Alonso in red. At last, Clark and I agree on something. Renault RBR unstoppable if Renault engine wasn't stopping itself. Shumi, we shall see. Working, missed race, but sounds like I didn't miss much. Live updates on iPhone, coolest thing since the wheel.
I say get some vintage SEV Marshall smart plugs for dependability and high performance.
Champions.
And here we go. In the dust woodworking. Weber engaged super secret James Bond smokescreen. Well, I thought it was Batman smokescreen, but it could have been James Bond.
Yeah.
Hopefully they don't find. They also have an oil slick button as well. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to read this again. Weber engaged super secret James Bond smokescreen. Hopefully they don't find they also have an oil slick button as well. Watching replay right now, slept through the live broadcast. Hey, at least he posted.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep up the good work. And there you have it. 50 words or less on the Bahrain Grand Prix. The forum is very active. We've got a lot of new members. Come on in. Don't be shy because we have a lot of guests. People are, peeking and looking. But you know what? There's no flaming on this forum. This is a great forum to just talk about what you like.
Yeah. It's the love of Formula One and associated topics that bring people to the forum. Check it out. It's a lot of fun.
Exactly. So there you have it, Steve. The first race of the 2010 season. A bit boring. Pretty good result. Fairly expected. Me and Nass both. Predicted it about an hour before the race started that Fernando would win, and ha-ha!
And it would have been on the top of the prediction competitions if Vettel's car hadn't broke.
Well, there you go. So, not too surprising. I think Adrian Newey's designed cars, even though it was a spark plug in the end, still tend to be fragile. They need to get a grip with that. And if they need some help, call Kimi Raikkonen. He'll tell you about his days at McLaren and some missed opportunities. But other than that, I enjoyed the race. I enjoyed the open season. I'm glad we got the Rosewater race out of the way. And now we go to Australia, where we have some real champagne and
men, and beer, shrimp on the barbie.
Worship all filled with men. So batten down the ladies' room. There's no one here but men. Good night.
Good night.